This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The New World Report to Peru with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College as our guide. The Peruvian government is now in the hands of unknown governance because there's a newcomer to Peru's leadership. His name is Castillo, a man who often appears colorfully in public in a big hat. He comes from union tradition, teaching tradition, the North, the agrarian-based part of Peru. Peru was badly damaged, worse than perhaps any other country in Latin America, during the virus, and the recovery is happenstance. However, right now, Financial Times reporting, the Peruvian government said it plans to fine a subsidiary of Spanish energy group Repsol for causing a devastating oil spill that blackened beaches near Lima and prompted the state to declare an environmental emergency. This according to Peru's prime minister. Professor, I highlight this story because it seems on the one hand that an energy company has damaged the environment, and this is routine in courts. But I don't know if Peru is set up to take on a giant energy producer from Europe in this fashion. And also at the same time, this suggests that the Castillo government is finding its legs. Is the situation, you know, the early days we reported on this, Mr. Castillo was naming members of his cabinet who were associated with banditry and not good investment qualities. Is this settling down now? And a side note here, this oil spill may or may not, according to Repsol, been a product of the Tonga volcanic underwater eruption that has damaged a lot of the beaches across the Pacific Ocean in an explosion that is now said to be epic and damaged the people of Tonga. So these are not unrelated phenomena, but in any event, the exploration here is Mr. Castillo. Is he faring well in this crisis, Professor?
Well, Pedro Castillo is in big and increasing trouble right now. It appeared that he had, for the moment, escaped impeachment, but that may be changing based on some of the blowback after the very controversial interview that he gave on CNN en Español. I believe it was yesterday. However, in many ways, what happened with Repsol and the public discourse around it really illustrates everything that is dysfunctional about the current Peruvian environment. I don't have the firsthand facts, but as I understand it, this actually did come about because of the volcanic eruption in Tonga, which created record waves, which led to alerts all across the Pacific, including in the United States, about the effect of the waves. Apparently, this Italian tanker that was affiliated with Repsol was in port when one of the waves hit. At least according to what I've heard, there was no warning that was ever given. So no way for the tanker to know that something could happen. But apparently the size of the wave or the swell was directly related to the spill. It appears that there may have been some attempt at cover up or just bad diplomacy in handling this. Repsol initially said that there was no spill and then later said, okay, there have been 6,000 barrels of oil leaked. It's now 40 square kilometers worth of oil that's impacting the beaches. But my understanding is it's probably very questionable, especially if there truly was no actual warning that was given about the tidal wave in this event, that Repsol will be found criminally liable. Now, it may do its best to try to help deal with the consequences of that. But this idea of, who is going to pay for this? And, clearly there is a company with big pockets that should be brought in to pay, it's unfortunately that mentality of who pays for these unfortunate situations that I think we see reflected in other parts of the Peruvian situation, and it's been very destructive to the investment environment. And I think especially with some of the people that back Castillo.
Yes, Pedro Castillo is reported to have visited the beaches. That's good politics. He's also used the word ecocide. That's good politics. But you tell me Mr. Castillo talks a little too much sometimes. Now, he's associated with redistribution, which is generally what Boric of Chile is associated with, and perhaps Lula da Silva in Brazil. But what is the struggle that he's having about maintaining his leftist presentation?
I think the most important thing in, for us, for an American audience or a U.S. audience to understand is that Pedro Castillo was a relatively unknown unionized teacher from a relatively distant province before he was capitulated into the national spotlight by an outlawed Peruvian politician, a Cuba-trained politician, Vladimir Strón, of basically communist orientation. The point of all of that is that Castillo came into power with very little experience in national politics, very little experience with the issues, with his socialization among a group of people who themselves were involved in oftentimes dirty, chaotic provincial politics. And so Castillo suddenly finds himself pulled by multiple different forces that, you know, he has a right with Fuerza Popular and others who is hostile to the left of center things he talks about doing. He has a more doctrinaire, you know, Cuban trained, a group with Cerón, who's trying to push him in a certain direction that he doesn't want to go. So if we can say that in Chile, Gabriel Boric is a, you know, a principled leftist intellectual, although, you know, creating some policies of concern. The argument is Castillo is someone who is probably out of his depth. And so he's entered into a certain type of paralysis now. And unfortunately, when he says things or makes proclamations, they run afoul of, you know, sometimes he says things that just aren't true when he just speaks what he thinks. And this was exactly what happened, not only with, I think, his instincts with the Repsol spill, again, you know, playing to the, you know, the poor disadvantaged Peruvians who always bear the brunt of these things, but also, again, the CNN interview, because my understanding of that, one of the issues that's most sensitive is Peru's neighbor Bolivia and their historic loss of access to the sea. Peru and Chile come together, shutting off the coastline and shutting Bolivia. Bolivia has long had a technical access to the sea with certain trade benefits. However, in this interview, just out of the blue, Castillo started talking about the justice of basically ceding some Peruvian territory so his leftist friend Evo Morales and the MAS in Bolivia could have their access to the sea. So you can imagine that, among other things he said for Peruvians, it's if somebody said, oh, well, let's just give up a little strip of Los Angeles near Tijuana, so that somebody else can have, you know, access to the Pacific. Peruvians have just been up in arms over these things. And so but the common issue really is that Castillo continues to be in more and more trouble because of his lack of experience with national politics. Some of the things that he says, the opposition that he's dealing with, and his instinct is then to bring more of his friends from Cajamarca in to be part of his inner circle. And every time he does that, like happened with the education minister, it turns out that these people have their own skeletons in the closet, and that creates even more problems for Castillo. And so, again, he hasn't been impeached yet, but he has been digging himself a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. And that's probably the biggest threat to Peruvian stability right now.
Another politician in Latin America is the very sophisticated and experienced AMLO, López Obrador, Mexico. But I find that he is also has overpromised, let's put it that way, that there were many expectations of healthcare improving in Mexico when he entered the presidential palace. However, these years later, the Financial Times is reporting that Mexico spends less on healthcare than Venezuela does and other Latin American countries. And the damage of the virus is profound. We don't have accurate numbers, but it's a very large number, perhaps 600,000 excess deaths during the time of the virus. Did AMLO overpromise? And now he can't claim inexperience. He is sophisticated.
What's interesting, John, AMLO is a different person than either Boric or Castillo. AMLO really was a kind of Chicago-style machine politics Democrat, we might think of. He really cut his political teeth as a relationship building mayor of Mexico City with what used to be the leftist center party in Mexico, the PRD. However, he is now on the national stage. He is now with a movement that is much less disciplined, the Morena movement. But what you find is that some of those instincts that he cut his teeth on in the 70s and 80s, which really has to do with the idea of state leadership of national development, are not serving him well. And so he has insisted on the Mexican national oil company Pemex having a lead developing the oil sector through its own. But Mexico, but Pemex has just been hemorrhaging money. They just put another $3.5 billion of good money after bad. The same thing with electricity generation, some of the things that AMLO wants to do to privilege the state electricity regulator CFE over private generation. And that's created some problems. And so what you alluded to in the health sector, this is kind of the latest AMLO's instinct to try to make a state solution. So there used to be basically a semi-private health system called Seguro Popular, which was created in 2003. AMLO came in said, well, we should have state-funded healthcare for everyone. We've heard that someplace before, right? And so he created this new institute called INSABE, which is roughly the institute, the health institute for well-being. The problem was this brand new institution, they didn't have any experience buying drugs. They didn't have any experience working with the market. So they couldn't buy enough. Certain types of drugs, they didn't buy properly. Certain types of drugs, they overpaid for. They had problems in distribution. And so, and of course, this AMLO had the bad luck that creating INSABE and getting rid of Seguro Popular coincided with the pandemic. And so at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, there was a mess with a lack of drugs. And of course, the big stories were the lack of cancer drugs. And so you can imagine, children in the cancer ward dying because they couldn't get, cancer drug treatments made big news, especially by those who are not too popular on AMLO. But there are a range of other drugs that these problems, these kind of birth problems of INSABE gave. So AMLO is certainly a sophisticated politician, but what we find is that statist orientation that he has had has not served him well, especially in a kind of the Shark Tank environment, which is Mexican politics with the Priistas and the Panistas and the rest.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, Latin American Research Professor. We're headed to the Galapagos, one of the treasures of the solar system and historically the foundation of modern evolutionary science because of Darwin's visit. Well, there's good news in Ecuador, thanks to a decision by President Lasso. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.